This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
All right, joining us today in the second half hour of the program, we will be welcoming Brian Predmore. He's the general manager of the Wenatchee Denny's. They are helping raise money for our 4th of July fundraiser, our 4th of July celebration. That's an event coming up on Saturday, of course. You're hearing about their salute to veterans. We're helping trying to win free food for your favorite veteran for a whole year at Denny's in Wenatchee. But we're also going to focus on this specific Saturday. We want as many folks to come out and donate money for a 4th of July. It's going to be here before we know it. Memorial Day almost upon us, but we'll talk with Brian coming up in the second half hour. Right now, though, for the first part of the program, we welcome Douglas County Port Commissioner Jim Huffman to the studio. And, Jim, welcome. Port Commissioner, since 1994, you've seen a lot of change.
I have that, and thanks for having me, Dave.
You bet. And I know last week, filing week, as we've had a couple of candidates in this week, you're first one with no opponent. So I know you were watching closely, and no one decided to take on a campaign challenge against you, and I know you have a lot of thoughts on that, but one of which is you don't want to be complacent, and so what are your thoughts on no one deciding to challenge you for your seat?
Well, my first ego answer is that, gee, I must be doing a really great job. However, I don't take that for granted. I think that, you know, times evolve, circumstances change, and it's really important to stay abreast of not only what's happening externally, but also to keep in touch with the constituents and finding out what's on their minds.
And, of course, maybe the other way to look about it, it's a hard job. It's an interesting job. Maybe nobody wants the job. I know one of your counterparts over at the Port of Chelan County, Don Etherington, he didn't draw a challenge either. But since 94, you've seen a lot of change.
I certainly have. During that period, we established a business park at the airport. We extended sewer, which now is really instrumental in all of the development that you see over in the Batterman Addition on the north side of the airport. I went through 9/11. I was there that day at the airport in helping staff clear the parking lot. It was a major event. And then post 9/11, there's been a lot of things that have been required through TSA. We've had to fence the airport, which was no small feat. And of course, as passengers, they've seen a lot of the evolution that's happened with try to check in for a flight and get on a plane.
I still appreciate going through TSA at our Pangbourne Airport.
Yes.
The staff out there does a great job. It is a breeze. Granted, it is a smaller facility, but it's much more pleasant. And of course, the expanded seating area that is there for what we will have eventually, knock
yes.
on wood, that flight down to the Bay Area and,
right.
and additional service at
one
some
of the,
point.
You know, one of the big selling features of living here and having our local airport is that, you're not very far from the Bay Area in terms of time. If you lived in the suburbs in Seattle, you'd have to add another hour to your travel time to get to the Bay Area, which seems counterintuitive, but if you look at all the processes involved in between, we're closer than they are.
Well, let's get right to the airport and the issue of governance and funding, and a committee is looking at that right now. Let's get a little bit of an update from you on where that committee is at right now with their recent meetings and some recommendations.
The task force that was appointed has completed their task, and they have a recommendation before us to do what we call a functional merger. And I like to think of it somewhat as like a shared services agreement, where we combine those things that we currently duplicate in our efforts, and also an opportunity to take advantage of some diversity among staff. We will be able to reduce staff also, and that's probably where the initial biggest cost savings are. We're looking at potentially a cost savings of about $500,000 a year. The challenge arose really with trying to fund and keep solvent the airport. No airport these days, post 9/11, really pays for itself. Passenger facilities charges that are collected on each ticket, don't cover the costs of operating that airport, nor any other airport for that matter. It's really important to get non-aviation-based revenue in the door, and that was the idea behind the business park, which we started in 95. But that's a big challenge in front of us. To do an actual merger is a step beyond and requires – there's a lot of moving parts to that, which would include a vote of the public on both sides of the river. But it also implies or would require that we would levelize our levy rates. Right now, our levy rate is about half that of the Port of Chelan. And so we would essentially have to double our levy rate in Douglas County to be on par with citizens Chelan County. The other thing is that if we actually merged, we would have to redistrict the two counties to cover probably, I'm guessing that it would be a five-member board, and it would probably work out to be a 3-2 proposition between the two counties. But redistricting collectively two counties is no small feat in itself either. You know, there'll be a lot of discussion around that, but that still may be in the offing down the road.
Anytime you're talking about raising a levy rate, that's typically not much appetite for that.
That's,
particularly when
yes.
When you're on the side of the scale where you're paying less than maybe your counterparts are.
Yes. Ironically, it's that difficulty and inability to raise levies that that put us partly in the situation we are today. The Iman cap on budgets had a big effect on our ability to raise our revenues. We're capped at 1% per year, and I don't know of any business that can function on only increasing their revenue for 1% a year. It's very, very difficult. I'm amazed we've been able to do it for this long.
Let's talk about the Wenatchee Landing project and your thoughts on that, and I guess maybe whatever role that you have played as a port commissioner and the port's role in that, and I know you're excited about the future there.
Absolutely. The concept of the master plan that we did actually is something that occurred between Cy Bautista and myself. He was the chair of the hospital board at that time, and the hospital owns 40 acres out in the area of the Wenatchee Landing. And this was prior to them making a decision on whether to relocate there at that site or to expand where they are. In any event, it was important that that property be served by infrastructure. Right now, it did not have sewer, and water is nearby, but had not yet been extended. Obviously, transportation needs within that area. And so what we decided was our port decided to do a master plan for that area. It's zoned properly for all kinds of potential development, but there'd never really been a momentum to do that, especially with lacking infrastructure. So we were able to gather all of the public infrastructure providers as well as landowners, and there's quite a number of different landowners in that area, and bring them all to the table and start discussion about, okay, what if we do this as a collective whole? And the result of that has been the plans for the Wenatchee Landing, and it's gaining attention and also now getting some funding for expansion of that infrastructure.
Yeah, $4 million from the legislature this year, which was double what they were hoping for.
Exactly. And it's important that we work in, according to our master plan, that be done in conjunction with some transportation improvements at the same time so that we're not redoing efforts on the ground.
We're talking with Jim Huffman, who is the port commissioner for Douglas County in District 1, which kind of generally covers basically kind of the same part of Douglas County that the county commission boundary covers, kind of the main East Wenatchee area.
Yeah, our districts in for the port are exactly the same as the county commission districts.
And no challenger when this interview was kind of set up. We didn't know if there was going to be a challenge or not. But nonetheless, you want to make sure that you get an opportunity to hear from people. You know,
yes.
The name isn't going to be on the ballot. What is the best way for folks to bend the ear of a port commissioner?
Well, I have a telephone. And that's a good way, but also I have an email address through the port. It's huffman@portofdouglas.org. So I'm more than happy to receive and respond to comments that folks might have. There's a big opportunity coming up on May 29th. We're going to have a public hearing on the consolidated effort, the functional merger that we're talking about. There'll be a public hearing at 5:30 on May 29th at the Confluence Technology Center. So we picked that spot because we anticipate there might be a lot of people, but certainly that's one way to express your interest or individually to me or any of the other commissioners.
There's a lot going on with the proposed project out in Rock Island with the old plant out there. Tell us about that. That sounds very interesting.
That's a fascinating project, and you might look to PIBUS to kind of maybe get some idea of what some of the possibilities are, although we're expanding conceptually what happened at PIBUS to include a makerspace, some tech spaces. The Wenatchee Valley College is working with us on perhaps some training area. It's right on the way into town from Quincy. And we know what's happening in Quincy with all the data centers and the tech development that's happening there. And we're trying to dovetail with all of that that's going on.
So, for instance, with the PIBUS, Port of Chelan County bought that, kind of fostered it along and
right.
Eventually got out of the building. And then, actually they're helping right now to kind of build a second floor for some more business startup space. Would that be kind of the model Port of Douglas County would take out in Rock Island?
Could very well. And as a matter of fact, we hired the same architect that did PIBUS, Graham Baba, and he has a lot of expertise in the area of reuse. So we're going to try to retain as much of the old smelter structure as possible. It's fascinating structure. You probably haven't been in it, and most people haven't. But there's some really
things we've driven by a million times.
Yes.
No one's, unless you, probably if you're a kid and you grew up in that area, you may have snuck in there or something like that. But
yes.
Most of us have no idea what it looks like inside.
That's true. And if you did grow up in that area, you remember a phenomenon called black snow, which was the outfall from the air plume from that plant. And so there's a lot of local interest in Rock Island also for seeing that site get some use, some positive use, and obviously cleanup is in the prospect there as well.
Has a very much of a kind of a gasworks park potential to it or look to it.
It does, but the nice thing is that it's not right in the middle of an urban area.
Yeah. You also have, I don't know if a pet peeve is, or not pet peeve, but a pet project is maybe the best term to put on it, but
yes.
A fascination with trying to improve our weather capability, our radar weather capability here. We used to have a National Weather Service station here. But now with the high-tech capabilities, could be improved here in our area for ag, for firefighting, and a host of other reasons. I know you really would like to see if the port can't tackle it, and I know you'd love to work on it yourself.
Absolutely. I'm working diligently to establish a coalition of a broad range of folks in the economic sectors to support that effort. We sit in a range or a radar shadow area between Seattle and Spokane. And the only weather radar data that you see is at high altitude. And it may be misleading to a lot of people because it's not indicative necessarily of everything that's happening on the ground. And initially, the radar systems across the country were built after World War II and basically with wartime effort monies to have good navigation into major airports in the country. Which is fine, but it hasn't really progressed a lot past that. Well, we've certainly seen some changes in weather, and we've become more dependent and reliant on good weather data, which we don't really have locally. Past efforts have focused primarily on navigation to the airport. That use in and of itself doesn't necessarily warrant the installation of a good radar station. However, when you look collectively, especially in the aftermath of forest fires that we've had, and potentially others coming up, that we really need on the ground good data. Fires, for example, generate their own weather systems. And a good conversation I had with Paul Hesburgh with the Forest Service is that you can combine weather radar data with drone data, and have absolute understanding of what a fire is doing and the ability to perhaps forecast better what a fire is going to do. But beyond that, you know, we've got a lot of agricultural purposes, the application of pesticides, herbicides, and the like require good information on weather, when you want to do it. In the forest, slash burning, when's the appropriate time, when are we going to have inversions or other kinds of weather systems or phenomenon. It's important for transportation. When do you want to apply the ice melt on the streets? Having good data like that is really important to just a whole host of other informations. And we've seen in Northern California, Pacific Gas and Electric became liable for the fire at Paradise. And so the utilities having good information on what a weather system is doing could be critically important and might even actually be able to spare some areas from forest fires. If they know a bad wind situation is developing, you can actually disconnect a power transmission system to avoid a forest fire.
We're talking with Jim Huffman, who is Port Commission for District 1 for Douglas County. No challenge, and so it's going to be another six-year term, unless somebody mounts a very successful write-in campaign. Real quick before we let you go, Jim, if you can give us an update on the gigawatt facility as well out on the port property.
We've all seen the in the news about the bankruptcy that had occurred there. Interestingly enough, it really didn't have anything to do with the local operation and the viability of that operation. The problem was, and this is good advice for investors out there, be careful if you take on some Russian partners as investors. They had a little different attitude than the developer of that site had in terms of a business plan, and he had a more patient business plan, which really made a lot of good sense in the long term. The other folks, the investors, wanted their money right away. Well, and that really kind of put his business plan on its top. Anyway, the bankruptcy did occur. It's in bankruptcy proceedings right now. The bankruptcy court has been generous in working with us and being able to now get on site and do some cleanup and some other things that need to be done. But beyond that also, there's a lot of interest in folks buying out that business and relocating at that site. So we still have confidence in the longer term and the future of that site. There may be now, in addition to blockchain opportunities, there may be some artificial intelligence opportunities at that site as well.
Well, Jim, you already gave out the information to get in touch with you. There is, again, going to be a public hearing on the look at consolidating or approach to kind of maybe trying to eliminate maybe some duplicated services between the ports of Chelan and Douglas County. That meeting is coming up on Wednesday, May the 29th. At the Confluence Technology Center,
5:30
is the start time, and if you have an interest in this, certainly you'll want to be there at that meeting. So
absolutely, I look forward to seeing not only my constituents but also hearing from folks in Chelan County as well.
All righty, well, Jim, thanks for joining us today. We sure appreciate the visit, and well, like I say, no challenge. It's either a job nobody wants to do, or folks perhaps are saying we like the job Jim Huffman's doing, and we appreciate your time today.
Whatever confidence there is, I appreciate.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for joining us. When we come back, we're going to talk about ways that you can help raise money for the 4th of July fireworks and also a great project that Denny's is involved with. They're both great projects. Brian Predmore, General Manager of the Wenatchee Denny's, joins us next on The Agenda. It's 12:34.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
All right, a very special guest in studio today, and we wanted to help spread the word about an important fundraiser going on this Saturday. We have Brian Predmore, General Manager of the Wenatchee Denny's. Brian, thanks for joining us in studio today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about the message that we just heard, and that's the support and salute to veterans here during the month of May that you got going on. First, let's focus on the 4th of July. So folks, come down on Saturday. We'd like to help raise some money for the 4th of July, and thanks for leading the effort. You're trying to help sponsor this and make it a great show.
Yeah, we're actually the stage sponsors this year. This is the first year that we're going to be the stage sponsors, so we're looking forward to that. But, you know, it takes a lot of money to put this thing on. So our goal is to try to raise $10,000 this weekend.
So what should we do? Well, hopefully we'll come down and have some breakfast.
Just write a check.
Well, come on and come have some great food. But if you don't have time, if you're just swinging by on Wenatchee Avenue there, kind of where Miller intersects there, just come. Come write a check. 4th of July committee?
4th of July committee, yes.
That's what you do. Why did you guys decide to get involved this year?
Well, you know, I've thought about it for the last couple of years doing something like this. It's just a chance to give back to the community. You know, I mean, too many people think that the name Denny's or some of these other big companies are just all out of town money, and we're not. We're local. You know, we are here locally. We're here for the long haul. We've been here since 1967 is when that store opened.
Is that right?
Yeah. I wasn't born yet. No, I was born. But, you know, I've been here 34 years.
Yeah, I was kind of going, he looks like he's maybe a little bit younger than me, but I was doing the math there real quick.
Yeah.
You guys were, didn't you get, behind, the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast too?
Yeah.
I'm just remembering an interview we did.
We have done the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast probably for a good 25 plus years. It's just been the last 2 years that we've actually, instead of just selling the food at cost, we actually donated everything to them so that they can make a little bit more money. And that's how we got our name out there.
Well, hats off to
you. Made 45-gallon buckets of pancake batter that morning.
Well, hats off to you.
We sold a lot of pancakes.
That
was a lot of fun.
That's good to know.
That was a lot of fun.
Folks need to know that. Congratulations to was it you or some of your staff helping out with that?
I helped it out. I've done it every year for a bunch of years. But this first year, I actually was up there cooking, so it was kind of nice. I had a lot of my regular customers that were coming through there and saying, wow, we didn't realize that Denny's had done this, you know.
Well, I'm raising my hand. Yeah. I had no idea. But so they brought in an expert, huh?
Yeah, they brought in an expert pancake flipper. I flipped a few in my years.
So when can we come down and drop off a check to help make the show a spectacular one this year?
Well, we're going to start it off at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. We're looking at having the Wenatchee Apple Sox mascot there by 11. We're trying to get some local police and fire out there because they're really good about standing out there with that boot and trying to collect money. You won't be able to miss me. I'll be the guy that's in a flag suit. So I have my U.S. flag suit that I'll be wearing that day, and I'll be standing outside trying to get people's attention. If that doesn't get their attention, I don't know what will.
Look for the patriotic guy. That's Brian. he'll be out there. And if you've got some time, come on inside and have a great Grand Slam breakfast. I'm gonna come have breakfast before I come down to work. So I'm gonna come out there and we'll get some reaction from folks who are donating. Again, it's a healthy goal, but the more that we can collect, the better that helps the 4th of July committee out, and also then puts them in great shape for next year's show as well. So I think you hit it right on the nail, Brian. It's easy for everyone to go, oh, someone else will donate. Someone else will do that. But Denny's is stepping up to the stage, I guess, in this case, and helping sponsor the stage for the big celebration and raising money this year. So hats off to your organization.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
So let's talk about something else that you guys do, and that is you extend discounts to not only veterans when they come in, but their whole family. Everyone at the table gets the discount as well. That's something you would never expect.
You know, if I can tell just a short story, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I had the privilege, one of my regular customers asked me if I would be his chaperone on the honor flight back to Washington, D.C., and I got to take a World War II vet back. You know, and I'd always thought, okay, well, these guys served our country and whatnot, but you know, until you actually go back there and you see those memorials, and it changes your life. You know, it totally changed my life and my perception of how I viewed the military. You know, these guys did a lot for us, and it's passed up too much. You know, we're too quick to assume that, you know, okay, so you served in the military for 4 years, you got out and you got on with your life, but you know, a lot of these guys that came home from World War II and Vietnam and Korea and all that, you know, they had a hard time adjusting. Same way with Iraq and all. You know, it's a lot. It takes, and you know, to give back, that's the least we can do. You know, we have a thing on the bottom of our ticket that says, our flag does not fly by the wind. Our flag dies by the breath of the last soldier who died fighting for it. You know, and it's so true. You know.
Well, you're putting a lump in my throat just listening to you, so I can see
why. I get very emotional about it because it changed me. You know, it changed who I was as a person.
Well, that was a wonderful tribute, and I'm sure just an amazing experience to escort that gentleman back to Washington, D.C. on the Honor Flight. For folks that don't know what the Honor Flights are, I've only observed it like on TV and in news reports, but you get to take someone from the greatest generation back. Sometimes they're in wheelchairs and have a difficult mm-hmm. time getting around, so they need a little emotional support or physical support making their way on this trip back to see the all the monuments and the veterans memorials.
A gentleman I took was 90 years old. You know, he was actually one of the survivors from Iwo Jima. He was actually on the hill when that flag was being raised. He was a demolition expert, so he had a demo pack on his back when he was working his way up that hill. You know, and it's that's leaving us. You know, he passed away here just about a month ago. And those stories are leaving us, you know. So we've got to try to find some way to keep those stories alive.
That is something. And thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
That is amazing. And what a privilege that what must have been.
It was.
So it is no wonder, then, that you guys honor veterans and everyone at the table that comes in down at Denny's. So here's the deal. If you'll go to our KPQ Facebook page, actually several of our radio stations here at Cherry Creek Media. We just kind of want you to kind of post a picture of your favorite veteran, and if you go on kpq.com or our Facebook page, it'll lead you right to a simple entry. Just by entering, you also have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Denny's, but someone is going to win, as I understand, a veteran is going to win free food for a whole year at your restaurant. How about that?
What a deal, huh?
That's a great deal.
You know, and it's nothing. You know, it's giving back to this community. That's what it's about, you know, and giving back to our vets.
So what we'd like you to do is certainly spread the word about that, because it's, as Brian mentions, the least you could imagine, given the service that they have done, and this is a great way to recognize veterans during here the month of May. So simply go to our KPQ Facebook page. You'll see an easy way to enter right there. And come on out this Saturday starting at 10 a.m. If you can donate some money, help out with the 4th of July project. I'd love to hear a little bit more of the history of Denny's here in Wenatchee. If we've got a couple more minutes,
sure.
When we come back, can you share that?
Sure, you bet.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Predmore is general manager of Denny's. Big fundraiser going on this Saturday. And we'll fill you in with some more details next on KPQ.
On News Radio 560 KPQ. You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, our final moments with Brian Predmore, who's general manager of the Wenatchee Denny's, and they do all kinds of great things in the community, including this Saturday, a big fundraiser for the 4th of July. Please donate money if you can, and we hear about all the great things they do in the community. Make sure that you do your part and donate whatever you can. Just if it's just a few dollars, or if you can drop off a big check, and if you hear about the great example they've been setting, again, you donated all of the pancake batter or the eggs or whatever for the Kiwanis pancake breakfast this year.
Everything.
All right. So Denny's has been around since 1967 as a family-owned restaurant.
1967, and I worked for an employer, Irene Modal, for 30 years. And she sold out last March, in actually 32 years. And so I work for a new company now called Feast Restaurants, but they're still local community minded, you know, and, most of my staff's been with me for years. I mean, I have a dishwasher who's been with me for almost 20 years. You know, we're like a family, and that's what's nice about it. You know, it is a meeting place. You can come in on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning, and you can see the coffee table, the old boys sitting there, you know, just yapping, and it's a local meeting place.
Well, those places are always great, and if you get down there Saturday starting at 10 a.m., you can donate to the 4th of July committee, and whatever you can drop off will be great. Maybe come on inside to have some breakfast. I'm going to do it, and we'll try and get some more word out on social media on Saturday as well to encourage folks to donate. And again, go to our KPQ Facebook page. Some of our other radio stations are also helping promote Salute to Veterans this month. A veteran could win, could be the lucky winner of free food for a year at Denny's. And just for entering, you'll be in the drawing for a $25 gift certificate, gift card at Denny's. And here's the cool thing. Anytime a veteran goes into Denny's, they get a discount extended to everyone with them at the same table. So that's a wonderful gesture you guys make.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate it. Well, thanks for sharing the story about escorting a gentleman who was in his 90s back to Washington, D.C. On one of those honor flights. That's really something, and really glad you did that and shared that story. That's neat.
Thank you.
Well, Brian, thanks for being here today, and we hope to get some great turnout on Saturday, and good to visit with you.
Hope to see you all Saturday morning.
All righty. Thanks a bunch. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to visit with one of the Friends of Leavenworth about the recent hearings examiner decision up in Leavenworth, and we'll also be talking about Children's Theater Group, Stage Kids. So that's tomorrow on the agenda, 12:53 now.